What is up, guys? Welcome to the Think Computer's weekly tech podcast. This is episode 482, and right across the screen is my trusty co-host Ryan. What's going on?
Oh, well, not a lot. 482, like that's my month and year I was born.
Yeah, you're old.
I don't know. I was just like, I noticed it when it was coming across. So
you're old.
I'm
man.
Good. How are you? I am an old man.
I know. Just old.
I know. I was noticing like more gray hairs and then like really showing up in my scruff today.
Yeah, that's where it shows up for me is if I don't shave, it's coming in, man.
Oh, yeah.
I can hide it a little bit with the blonde hair.
Yeah,
a little bit,
exactly.
But
I can't.
Yeah. Yeah. So, another Wednesday, which means we have a lot to talk about when it comes to PC hardware and tech. This week's podcast is brought to you by our friends over at ASRock and their Phantom Gaming 360 LCD. And we didn't like exactly plan this, but we actually reviewed this week too. So it kind of makes sense that they're our sponsor for this week of the podcast. This is their brand new AIO. If you didn't know, ASRock makes AIOs. And Ryan's going to talk in detail when we go into the review. But I got to see these at CES, and I was actually impressed for like a first. This is their first generation of liquid CPU coolers. And they have a whole line too. They didn't just come out with one. Like they have a whole line of these. So if you do want to learn more, you can check out thinkcomputers.org/PG360, and that will take you right to the product page so you can learn more about those. But we thank them for the sponsorship of this episode of the podcast. And like I said, we do have a lot to talk about this week. We have two reviews. We have a really interesting story that Intel might be changing up how they are going back to how they used to design their CPUs. We have some drama with all of the Ryzen Z1 and Z1 Extreme chips that are in all of these gaming handhelds that haven't had updates for a while. And if your gaming handheld, which you would assume would last years, isn't getting updated, that's not good. So we're going to talk about that. We have some other stuff in here as far as an interesting new game, stuff going on with Steam. Asus launched a ProArt keyboard, which is a little interesting. And DDR5 prices might be going down a little bit.
We'll see.
Yeah, might be going down a little bit. So we have a lot to talk about. If you guys do want to follow along, we do have our full show notes page here that has everything that we're talking about. And if you don't know where it's at, you just go on the website up here. It says podcast, and then it would be obviously 482, this one, and you can click right in. And again, all of the notes are right here. So anything we talk about, you can go ahead and see. And yeah, should be, like I said, easy to follow. And again, if you want to reference anything, it is there. But we'll go ahead and start with that Phantom Gaming 360 LCD, which Ryan took a look at, and we'll bring up his review here. So
brand new all-in-one cooler from ASRock. Like Bob mentioned, you know, this is kind of their first foray into these all-in-one coolers. Yeah, let's just jump right into it. Pretty standard cooler as far as specs go, right? It's a 360 millimeter cooler. They only offer it in 360 millimeters right now. I think if this is successful and does well for them, we could possibly see them branching out to like a 240, right? A little smaller. And then maybe also a white version, because this only comes in black. But they also have other lines of coolers and product lines, right? You've got Phantom Gaming, you've got Steel Legend,
Tai Chi,
yeah. Right, Tai Chi. You've got all these other levels, so maybe some of those colorways work better in some of those, but just keep that in mind. This is the only size and color that you've got this available in now. But it's do you hear that?
No, nope. I did not.
Okay. It was an ad was playing, okay. So yeah. Okay. It comes in a really nice box and has a really nice like unboxing. Let me just do something real quick, because I keep getting audio from this. Okay. Really nice unboxing experience, which for a first time product from a company is nice, right? Each of the parts of the cooler, even though it's all kind of one piece, comes in kind of like these little accessorized compartments. So your water blocks kind of held in one area. The tubing comes through and is routed through some cardboard guides. Your radiator and fans are nice and protected as well. Just a nicer experience than what we've seen recently in some of them, where it's just kind of like a shaped crate, yeah, almost like egg crate material, which is fine. Like, it does the job and keeps things protected. This is just like a higher end experience,
yeah,
which is nice. And I like that. Comes with all the accessories you need for mounting in current AMD and Intel platforms. You get some thermal paste and a spreader, which I always like. This cooler does not come with pre-applied thermal paste, so you've got multiple uses out of that paste should you need to utilize it more than once. But let's just get a closer look at it. And as you can see kind of in the intro image, there's obviously an LCD on here. So this has a 3.4 inch LCD screen. But underneath that, and we've seen this from like Asus, right? Their Ryujin 3 had this as well. We have a VRM cooling fan, which is a really nice feature, right? Keeps that power delivery system that's around your CPU nice and cool by blowing some air around those components. But yeah, 360 millimeter radiator and fan. And
how thick is the radiator?
I was going to say, this is a 32 millimeter radiator, okay, as opposed to the traditional 27. So you got about 5 millimeters extra thickness, which usually adds up to more surface area, right? So as that air is flowing through that radiator, you've got a little more material. So you have a little more time to transfer heat away from it and exhaust it out your case. So all black design, little ASRock branding on the side. But one thing I do want to mention is, like, typically we see like 20 to 22 fins per inch on radiators. This one had 16 fins per inch, which is by far the lowest. So it's a very open radiator, and that'll help out with some of that extra thickness, right? You don't have to push air as hard with those fans to get airflow through a radiator. So I thought that was interesting to see there, such a low fin per inch rating. Let's see here. Pretty standard tubing, outlets and connections to that radiator. We've obviously got nice flexible tubing with braided cables, which is pretty much the standard here. But back to the pump housing and kind of the water blocks situation. Up on top is that 70 millimeter fan, and that is mounted right to the top. There we go. Here's the better angle here. Mounted on top of the pump and water block, right? So it gets power and cools off your components around it, like I mentioned. Now, this does have some magnetic contact tabs at each corner, and that's because when you orient that fan or the screen on top, you want to make sure you have connections no matter what orientation you've got it in, things like that. So that is some nice just thinking there, right? They've done a lot to build this out and put a lot of thought and effort into designing this. It doesn't feel like a first product by any means, which is really nice. USB Type-C connectivity for that cap that kind of fits over the top of the fan and the pump. And that's part of that screen display connectivity is going to utilize USB Type-C. And it's a cable that breaks out into a USB 2.0 cable. So you can plug that into a 2.0 header on your motherboard. And then you get a PWM and ARGB connection as well, all coming off of this single Type-C cable. So it keeps things nice and clean, right? You do have a cable coming off of the bottom here for the pump, right? A PWM, and then you'll have that Type-C. But you've got a lot of things you're controlling, so only two cables there really isn't too bad. And as you can see here, they've kind of got like this shaped cone design to direct airflow from that fan out to the components surrounding it, which is nice. Again, just they've thought of a lot of things. Nice big copper base here. So going to be great for any of those modern CPU designs. And here's a look at the LCD screen from the top. Just a nice square 480 by 480 resolution, 60 frames per second, 60 hertz refresh rate. So just nice, smooth graphics on here as well. We'll kind of look at that here in just a second. And then here's the inside of that cap that has the screen on the backside of it. This is just your control board. Plus, we've got 16 ARGB LEDs inside, so you get some like underglow lighting that as well. So, and then four magnets that kind of snap themselves onto the four screws that are holding that fan in place, holds it nice and tight. And then you've got this cool like hologram Phantom Gaming logo. The only thing is if you mount this in the like recommended orientation, you don't even get to see this component because it's like facing up towards your fan and radiator.
Gotcha.
It's really neat looking. You just can't really see it.
Yeah, I can't see it.
We've seen this a lot lately. We've seen a ton of these, and we kind of came up with a new name for them, right? The 360 millimeter fan array. And we've got one of those here with this cooler. And this one's like decked out with nice 120 millimeter fans. The fan blades are all connected at the edges to help direct that airflow through the radiator. Plus, we've got this cool, like, reflective holographic addition to the fan body, which looks really nice. And just kind of has just like an extra touch. It kind of changes color just a little bit when you move it. Not a ton.
Yeah.
But it is just a cool design. Nice fans here. They do have good ratings as far as airflow and air pressure. So they're great for utilizing in a AIO cooler setup. And a nice thing about that type of fan is we've only got one cable coming out. It ties together PWM and ARGB.
Aren't you so glad?
Oh, it's so nice. By your tubing, right? It's just, yeah.
Like your current build. I mean, how many ARGB connections have, and then you got to daisy chain everything together. Now it's just one connection. How easy is that?
Exactly. And then on this image here, this line across the edge goes all the way around, and that's ARGB lighting strip around the outside of the fan. So not only do the fan blades light up, you also have that edge all the way around the array that is illuminated as well. So lots of lighting here in this cooler. Let's go.
Doesn't it make you think, like, why didn't we do this from the beginning? Just like the single connection?
Oh yeah, for sure. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
If we could have figured that out a long time ago, that would have been nice.
Yeah.
And you can kind of see here, you know, that lighting strip up top, just how it looks. Very cool there. Installation's super easy, right? The fan array comes attached to the radiator in a push configuration. So
the fans come pre-installed.
No work you got to do there. Yep. Comes pre-installed. It's held on by four screws, right? So no extra work there. It does not use the factory AMD mounting bracket. So they send along a custom one. It does use a universal bracket on the pump housing itself. So Intel and AMD are going to use the same setup. So you don't have to swap out a bracket on there, which is nice. And that cap just kind of snaps over, you know, you've got it mounted here. You can take the screen off, which is nice, especially during installation. You don't want to like gouge it with a screwdriver when you're trying to screw in the screws or anything like that. And it just snaps on in place. And then you just wire up that Type-C cable there.
Gotcha.
You can kind of see. It does support, or is supported by, ASRock's polychrome display application. That is nice. However, that only controls what's shown on the screen. So there's kind of some different tabs here. You've got an overview that kind of shows some system stats. You can go to a hardware tab that just shows you information about your components. And then you just have this device tab that's like, oh, choose from one of six pre-made display options, which is nice, right? They give you more than one. And you can also create your custom designs, which I really like, because you can put a custom image behind and then you can choose like what readout you want, what kind of fonts you use, how big they are, the size. You can play around with it in all sorts of ways. But this is the only control you get in polychrome display, is for the display. You can't control the fan speed. You can't control the ARGB.
Yeah.
Like, I need an application from ASRock that circles around and gives me fan speed, RGB, and control of this display all in one. Because you've got to have three apps to do that.
Yeah, you know, like Asus has Armory Crate. MSI has IQ. MSI has the MSI Center. I think probably because this is so new.
You know,
they kind of just have this, and hopefully they'll combine everything. The problem is, and we've seen it, especially with Asus's Armory Crate, is once you try to bring everything together, that software gets so big and so bloated. And then it doesn't, like, I've had so many issues with a bunch of them. That's what you kind of run into.
Then I found it odd. I also could not get the pump speed to show up on the display.
Interesting.
I use fan speed to control the fans when I'm doing testing. And then also ASRock's motherboard utility would show the speed of that fan and the pump running.
Interesting.
But it just wouldn't display on here. So that was kind of weird, especially since it's an ASRock motherboard.
Yeah.
ASRock cooler. Like, you would think it'd just like, no. But some neat designs here. You know, you can kind of choose what you want to display on your screen. RGB lighting looks
nice. It looks nice.
I like most of the default screens, especially this like one that I've shown most prominently. I think that's the best looking one by far.
Yeah.
Performance wise, though, performs really well. Idle, load, best performing so far in this new setup, right? We've tested so far four coolers, but three coolers displayed here in our graphs. And it performs the best under idle and load situations.
Nice.
A couple degrees better than the others, all the way through multiple fan speeds. Noise levels are good as well, right? It's usually the quietest or tied for quietest. So really good performance there as well. So just all around, like, really nice initial offering of an AIO from ASRock. The only downsides that I have are, you know, three applications to control it. If you want to control your RGB, your screen, and the performance of it, you got to hop around to do it, which kind of stinks. But tons of pros to this. And price-wise, $189, right? You're getting a nice bit of RGB lighting on those fans and the fan array. You're getting lighting in the pump housing. You're getting the LCD. You're getting good performance. Like, I think pricing is nice. Gave it a 9 out of 10. Really, nice. Really nice first offer.
Nice. Well, definitely check out Ryan's review. Now, since you're like the AIO guy, right? What do you, you obviously gave it a 9 out of 10, which is pretty high rating for you. For their first run, I mean, are you pretty impressed?
Yeah, absolutely. The only drawback was from a software perspective, right? Hardware-wise, this thing's great.
Yeah.
Everything felt good quality. Everything fit well, right? Like, sometimes you'll get a product that maybe that's like super early on or from a company that's not as large, and you'll have fitment issues or it just doesn't feel right.
None yeah.
of that here.
Yeah. Old man in the chat says, Asetek's patent, remember when Asetek's patent expired, we're seeing a ton of new water coolers. Yep. That could be the reason that ASRock got into this too, because this again is their first run. That could have been a factor, not having to pay that royalty. So, I like it. Like I said, I got to see all of them. The Tai Chi one is pretty cool. That one is, of course, like their highest end one. But the Steel, I guess all this, the Steel Legend one was really nice too. So maybe we'll get some more of those into review so Brian can take a look at those as well. I took a look at a Gen 4 NVMe SSD that you can buy because so many are sold out. You can buy this one. This one's from Clev. Let me add it in here. This is the Clev Crass C925G. It is a Gen 4 NVMe SSD. It uses a Maxiotek controller. It is their MAP1602A, and it uses SK Hynix 238 layer 3D TLC NAND. If you don't know, Clev is owned by SK Group. So this is, it kind of makes sense that they're using, SK's NAND here on this. Pretty simple drive. Like I said, I think when it comes to, everybody kind of knows what performance you should expect out of a Gen 4 drive by now. Pretty simple drive overall. Doesn't really ship with much except for the drive. It does have a little graphene type kind of, it's not like a metal heat sink, but that's what's kind of on the top here. So that will help with cooling a little bit, but not a ton. Obviously, you can see how thin it is. Like, obviously, suggest to use this with an M.2 heatsink. It is a single-sided drive, which opens up a lot more possibilities of where you can install this, especially on certain mobile devices and things like that. Pretty, like I said, pretty simple. And no DRAM chip, so this is DRAM-less. And as far as performance goes, like, if we look at our performance, let me go down to the next page. It performs pretty much up to spec. So the specs on this are 7,400 megabytes a second read and 6,500 megabytes a second write. And like, it gets right up there in most of our tests. I did see this weird, and I replicated this like 10 times, especially in the auto disk mark. Like, you can see right here at the 48 megabyte mark, the writes just take a dump. Like, they go down to about half speed just at this. Like, I don't know what was going on. That was the weird, like, the weird write Yeah, just weird write performance in this test. But overall, good performance. Like if you look at Crystal Dismark, like 7,300, 6,400. So right up to those specifications when it comes to sequential. And overall, like I said, it is a good drive. It's going to kind of max out that, you know, Gen 4 speed for the most part with really no issues except for that weird write error. I gave it a 9 out of 10. Pricing sucks right now when it comes to storage. I mean, it's not horrible. And it seems like the $300 mark right now is kind of the right around the spot for 2 terabyte Gen 4 drives. So the 2 terabyte is $299, the 1 terabyte is $165.99, and the 500 gig is $100. There is no 4 terabyte option with this, which is kind of a bummer as well. Always like to see four terabyte availability when it comes to storage these days. So you don't get that. So I gave it, I gave it an 8 out of 10, but I put the 9 out of 10, but it's an 8 out of 10. Does come with a 5-year warranty. Didn't run into any thermal issues or anything like that. And great read performance. Had those weird write anomalies for the cons. And again, no 4 terabyte option. And again, not Clev's fault, but pricing on storage is just pretty crappy right now. So like I said, if you're interested, you can pick it up now on Amazon if you are looking for storage, and it is a solid drive overall. So check out the review if you want to learn more. And then we'll move on to Case Mod Friday. And I like this one. This one's really cool. This is something you just want to have sitting on your desk, I feel.
Yep.
So this is sort of like an open air build. And what do you even call this type of, like, what do you call this case? Like, we've seen a handful of these lately.
I don't know. Like
do you call it like a open frame
carry along, because it's got a handle at the top, you know?
Yeah,
you
just
like pick it up and set it down.
And it's not like those big open frame cases, you know? No. like remember that Cougar case? It's like big open frame. This one is more like you said, like it has the handle. It's like, I feel like this is like the LAN party rig almost.
Yeah.
And this one's from MSC Studio. And I mean, there's the back of it with the reservoir and everything on the back. And man, it just looks cool. I love how this goes with the design on the motherboard. I think that's really cool.
The only thing that bugs me about this is you're cooling the CPU, your VRMs, and your GPU on a single 240 millimeter
range. Oh, I didn't realize that. I forgot this is the Tai Chi Aqua board from ASRock. I didn't even realize that.
Yep. That's like the only thing that bugs me about this is.
Yeah.
Oof. But I think this is cool. I like all the angles that just make sense. They've done a good job. Like on some of these builds, you see like they don't attach like the USB ports at the front, right? Or anything like that. But on this one, they've got the USB attached, and then they like just route it nicely under the motherboard, so it's functional. Yeah. It's not just like, oh, we got everything on this build to make it power on, but you couldn't like actually use it because some of the stuff's not connected, right? I like that they've gone all the way with functionality.
I feel like at least some ports might.
No, they routed it. I looked.
Oh, really?
They did. Yeah, they did that specifically there too, so that it matches up and doesn't cover any ports from everything I could see.
Interesting. Very cool. I like that.
That huge power cord going in the back.
Yeah. Yeah, but like even like the little details, like the everything. Yeah, man, this is cool. Like I said, this is like the LAN party rig. You just pick that up.
Power connector makes me nervous. Because it's such a wide cable, and then it goes into the 12 volt.
Yeah.
Yeah, it just makes me nervous.
Yeah.
With those connectors. And it's using the Trikes AIO.
Yes.
Is that not? But they've modified it so it can be used in a custom loop.
Yeah.
Or do they offer one?
I don't know if they offer one. I think they do, or maybe they do. But
if they do, I haven't seen it yet.
Yeah. But yeah, that's the curved display, which I think, again, makes this pretty cool because you can see it goes all the way around the front there. So yeah, shout outs to MSC Studio.
It's the Panorama water block. They do offer it now.
Okay. Yeah. which I think is super cool too, because I feel like as like a water cooler, right? And like you see these AIOs with these super cool screens, you're like, wait a minute, like I want that.
Yeah, I want that. Yeah.
Yeah. So now you can have that. And that's Asus did that as well with their Ryujin 3 screen. They have a water block as well. So that's pretty cool if you're interested in that. But yeah, like I said, I like this one. This would be like, again, the LAN party rig for me for sure.
Sure.
Yep. Yeah. So like I said, guys, we always have, we feature a build every Friday. So if you want to check that out, we have a full section on the website. And we'll move to news. And I found this story really interesting. So how long ago was it that, you know, we just like an Intel CPU, it just had a set amount of cores. And then, you know, those cores would boost up and down depending on what you were doing.
Yeah.
With hyper-threading. And then Intel changed it. And now you have performance cores and efficiency cores. And I mean, I guess that was a good thing. Yeah. Cause certain cores could handle certain things, and you know, you could kind of mix and match how things did. Obviously with 14th, especially 13th and 14th gen, we ran into a lot of heat issues. Right. But
yeah, so it was 12th gen when they did it.
Yeah. So 12th gen, I feel like was good. Like
5 years ago. Yep.
13th and 14th gen.
They were hot.
They were like everybody. And it was so funny because once they fixed it. So with Core Ultra, they fixed it where it didn't get as hot. But I remember the year that 14th gen came out and then we went to CES, every brand was like, oh yeah, like we're coming out with a 480 millimeter AIO. And then like none of them came out because they fixed it after. So that a lot of them didn't come out. But but yeah, so there's this interesting job posting for Intel that says Intel's unified core team is looking to add a CPU functional verification engineer. So unified core team means that they're at least working on a CPU that's going to have unified cores, meaning that again, it's going to be like the previous design, or at least like that's what this.
Right. That's what we're thinking.
Here. Do you think they'll go back to that?
Does it say anywhere that it's desktop?
That's what versus, I think.
You know, maybe this is like server.
Don't know.
As opposed to, because desktop, it still makes a lot of sense on desktop and like mobile to have those efficiency cores.
Especially mobile.
Especially.
Because again, the power constraints.
Exactly. So yeah, I don't know. It's kind of cool. Yeah. It'd be neat. Sometimes it works.
Makes it easier to overclock. It makes it a lot easier to do overclocking when everything's just like a set amount of cores and you're just like, it will be interesting to see if, you know, again, Intel has obviously had some missteps over the past couple of years when it comes to their CPUs and desktop and like losing a lot of that to AMD, especially with X3D. So it should be interesting to see what they do. Maybe they come out with like a certain CPU for the enthusiast that is unified or something along those lines. But yeah, this could be like for data center. It could be for like, we don't know. But pretty interesting. We'll see what happens with that. But talking about Intel, the next desktop series is Nova Lake, and it looks like it's going to be pushed all the way back to 2027, so CES time, so January of next year. Just too much going on price-wise, DRAM shortage. It just like doesn't make sense for them to release it in 2026. And these were slated to come out in late 2026, probably for holiday time, but probably just still by then. I don't know how, if things are going to be kind of recovered just yet. And again, for like people, this is going to require a new socket once again for Intel. So if you are, and again, if you're like moving from a, you know, a DDR4 system, a new socket means a new motherboard, which means it's going to be DDR5 only. So you have to, you know, so that's a big thing. So yeah, so this looks like it's probably long. I mean, CES would be a good launch, but you miss that window of sales and holiday buying. But
it's just so risky right now, I think, with
to launch anything.
Like
not just CPUs, like to launch anything.
Unless you're a memory, or you know, or a storage company launching products for AI, it's scary to launch anything.
Yeah, it really is. So we'll obviously see what happens with that as well. And I'm sure we'll see leaks and things throughout this year. Now, if you did want to buy a CPU and you maybe you wanted to delete it, which you could totally ruin your CPU if you deleted it. Thermal Grizzly is now offering deleted Ryzen 7 9850X3Ds, and they're going to give you a 2-year warranty on it.
Right.
So they'll do the deleting for you. It's going to come in a box like this with the top off, obviously. 2-year warranty and all of that. It's going to, you know, look like that instead of having the heat spreader on there or heat sink on there. I like the 2-year warranty. It kind of gives you peace of mind if you're buying a product like this that essentially has you know, been tampered with per se. it's priced at $876.33, which is a decent markup over it. But just like with any of these, you know, they're providing a service and they're providing, you know, and they're backing it. Like I said, I like that they're backing it with a warranty.
Yeah. And I mean, people that are buying these and deleting anyways are probably pretty familiar with the process and what they're doing. This isn't like a product that like you're gonna sell Joe Schmo that walks into a micro center, right?
Yeah.
This is so different than just slapping a CPU into a motherboard.
Yeah, for sure. So. But yeah, pretty cool. I like it. I'm a fan. Like I said, I'm a fan of the warranty if they're gonna, you know, do that. Old man in the chat says a lot of people saying they will not be building a new PC until RAM and SSD prices go down, which may take years. Yeah, that's a difficult thing because we were just saying like launching anything right now as far as a product. We've talked over the past month about the Steam Machine. Like, will it ever come out? Because it's just not a good time and you can't get that pricing right. In building or even upgrading right now, just like you're paying double or sometimes more than that. For memory and for storage. So it's just, yeah, it's not a great time. We talked about NVIDIA's N1 and N1X chips. If you're not familiar with those are an NVIDIA laptop CPU, ARM-based. Hopefully, they said they're going to launch in the first half of 2026, so that's coming up. You know, this is going to bring a whole new product line to NVIDIA as far as, you know, you're going to have a full-on NVIDIA laptop now. So you would have these chips and then, you know, NVIDIA discrete graphics fully on there. I'm excited to see. I always like when like a new player comes into a market because this market is incredibly saturated by Intel. AMD has a little bit of it when it comes to laptops. But if, again, NVIDIA can come in there, I think that I like it. I like see what they can do. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it'll be interesting. I like what I'm looking forward to or hoping we see out of this is something similar to what Apple did, right? When they brought their chips back in house and we come out with the M1, right? And their systems. I don't know that we're going to see that with this first iteration, but that could be what we're working towards. And that's really exciting.
Yeah. Yeah. So I like that. So they said first half. So it could be, it should be coming. You know, we should see some of this stuff soon.
Computex, maybe, you think? You think it'll be that?
Yeah, probably. First half. I mean, first half is, you know, till what? June, July? June. So, yeah, you could see some of these. I have to be on the lookout. Maybe one will just be, like, sitting there and I won't even know. That happens a lot. So,
I see something that's,
So, somebody in the chat, what is it? Ryan Costa 8670 said, I bought a 5-year-old PC for 1/3 the original price last month. Saved me the price. Yeah. I mean, used market is pretty good. I mean, honestly, if you can find some stuff in the used market, it's not a bad place to look. You got to do your due diligence when it comes to buying stuff. But I think when it's, unless people are like selling stuff to make money on it, the used market is pretty decent when it comes to picking up some parts, or even like, you know, people building PCs, like, cause they can't charge crazy amount over, you know, kind of what it's worth. So yeah. Okay. So we're going to go to the AMD Ryzen Z1 and Z1 Extreme driver updates. So a large amount of these gaming handhelds are, you know, they're based on the Ryzen Z1 and Z1 Extreme, right? So you buy this gaming handheld. I mean, just like the Steam Machine. Steam Machine's been out for years, right? You expect to use this gaming handheld. And again, like, you know, some of those.
Steam Deck?
Yes. Yeah, yeah. But you expect to use this gaming handheld for years, right? Sure. Especially, yeah. I mean, you're paying $500 to $1,000 for this thing, right? And you expect it, you know, to have some updates and, you know, maybe get some, you know, when like things come out, like new FSR and new other upscaling and stuff, like you would expect that driver update, right?
Sure.
Well,
not the case.
It looks like this is just a report. It looked like Lenovo said they weren't updating. Like they said, like they're not giving updates anymore for the Lenovo Legion Go.
They aren't, or like AMD isn't just not providing.
It's kind of like they're playing a blame game. Like, and Lenovo's like, hey, we're waiting on AMD for the driver. Like, they haven't given us a driver.
You know what I mean? It kind of depends. Yeah, like what component it is, right? It'd be one thing if Lenovo wasn't giving any updates, but if they're still updating like the other components that they have more control over,
yeah,
it would be better than them just giving nothing. So
yeah, so there was just like when this came out, there was like this blame game. Lenovo's like, yeah, like we haven't got an update from AMD, and then people were obviously concerned about like products like Asus ROG Ally, which is one of the most popular ones. Again, Legion Go is very popular as well. So people were like, oh my god, like I just spent $800 on this thing like a year ago, and now it's gonna become a brick because it, you know, it's not gonna play new games, or like a lot of uncertainty.
Sure. And I mean, there's some limitations too, like maybe it doesn't support, you know, some of the software stack that needs to run on it to take advantage of that.
Yeah. And this whole thing came from Lenovo Korea support said there's no further driver or BIOS updates planned for the original Legion Go, which again hasn't been out. Like, it's not like it's been out for like 5 years or 6 years. It's been a couple years. So that's where this all kind of stemmed from. And like literally the next day, so you're like, hey, you're an ROG Ally user. You're like, what's going on? And I'm sure people reached out to Asus, right? They're like, what, you know, because Asus, the ROG Ally didn't get an update for 6 months.
Jeez.
But they pushed one out. Like literally after all this came out, they pushed out an update. So they pushed out an update for the Z1 Extreme for the ROG Ally. So I don't know if it's just like laziness on the parts of like the OEMs, which would be Lenovo and Asus, or there's just like a miscommunication between AMD and these guys. But again, like it's just concerning because we talked, this is like, I don't know if you guys remember this, like before, maybe like 5 years ago, remember like AMD didn't push a graphics card update for
what was that?
Eight months a year
application called too?
I forget.
It's not Omega. It was like
yeah, I think it was like the Omega driver. I remember that.
Omega, was it? I don't remember.
Yeah, but like this happened in the past with AMD, and then they finally realized that they need to step it up, and then they came out with this whole nice suite, software suite, and everything for their graphics cards. But again, like if you're somebody considering purchasing one of these devices, like now would you, yeah, old man in the chat says, it reminds me of AMD 7970 GPU taking months between driver updates. Yeah, like that's the biggest thing. So like if you're considering buying one of these, maybe you buy one that's Intel based. So you said this might not be an issue.
Yeah. I mean, you know, maybe this is something where AMD tells these companies, they're like, hey, like, yes, we've got some updates, but like, we're really not happy with where they're at. So like, you can work on them, but don't release it. Right. And maybe they've had it. And then, you know, this type of news comes out, Lenovo gets thrown under, Asus is kind of included there, and Asus maybe reaches out to AMD and they're like, hey, we're getting drugged through the mud here.
Yeah.
We've got this. We've tested it internally. We know it works. Can we just bump out this release?
This news affects sales too. Like So it's pretty interesting little drama there. We'll obviously be tracking this because it's quite important to get driver updates. I mean, like I said, that time when AMD didn't update their drivers for like a long time. I think we're doing like a countdown. We like every time we're like, oh, it's been another 2 months. No updates. So we'll see what happens. I think AMD wants to be on top of this because, again, you know, these other brands like Asus, Lenovo, MSI, whoever, maybe they don't pick AMD SoC if this is like an issue next time, like next go around. You know what I mean? That could be
Catalyst drivers. Not
Catalyst. Yeah, those things were not updated. Can I see if I can like even
Omega find... was like a third party driver that someone had created.
I don't know if we have anything on the site. So this is like an old post on the site. AMD, this is from 2015, news story. Jeez. That I did. AMD releases first WHQL signed Catalyst driver in 212 days. That's how bad it was back then. Good like Lord. all these new AMD people, graphics card people, like that's how bad it used to be in 2015. When it came, like no updates at all. So it was like 4.112 Omega. That's why Omega was the thing, because we're still stuck on this Omega driver. Like we've been on this thing for a long time. But yeah, interesting times we had back then. It's nice to go down memory lane.
I know a good memory though.
Yeah, but I know like with we covered it. Like that's the funny part. It's you know. But yeah, so like I said, we'll keep you. I don't think it's gonna be like that. I think that's not the thing. Talking about what we've been talking about a little bit during the episode is RAM prices. DDR5 prices declined for the first time in Germany. So we have some data here to kind of show that, you know, price graphs go up. It went down a little bit. Not great. I mean, this is where we were.
If we see this story next month and it's continued to go down and it's spread past Germany to other areas of the world, then okay.
Yeah, because like you can see, like I said, going down. And these are specific kits that the prices have been tracked. Corsair Vengeance, 32 gig, 6,000 megahertz. You have Crucial Pro, 6,400 megahertz, 32 gig. Yeah, I mean, price, like I said, dropping a little bit. I mean, you know, at least it's like not
continuing. And the stable, right. It's not a rocket ship going up. It's
We'll see what happens with this. I mean, I would like to see this continue to go down. But again, demand and everything, we'll kind of see what happens with it. Because,
it'd be great if we get it back down to where it was, but there's always that, like,
if people are a little more like 200,
don't say no. Don't let them hear you say that. Like, because if people are okay with that, then they have no reason to go back down to what it was. Even if they've got excess capacity, right? They're like, well, people will pay this and like, we're selling plenty. So no, just stop.
Yeah. So we wanted to go back down to around 100. Okay. That's what we want. So yeah, we'll obviously track this and see what happens. But it's in all the doom and gloom news we've had over the past month, that's one of the
It's a sliver of hope.
Yeah, it's a sliver of hope that prices are at least going to normalize or can do, like them to continue to go down. So yeah.
Yes.
So Asus's ProArt line, right?
Mm-hmm.
It started with displays. They wanted really color accurate displays, and then we started seeing some other products, cases. You took a look at a ProArt AIO.
Yep.
I took a look at a ProArt case, motherboard. They have ProArt graphics cards. They just came out with the ProArt 5090. All really great products. They came out with a keyboard.
Yep.
So this is a ProArt KD300 low profile keyboard. Has a 16-month battery life. So it's a 65% small, low profile keyboard. Looks nice. Looks very Apple-esque, sort of, or like a designer. I mean, it's obviously designed for that type of person. Obviously, it's wireless, works on PC and Mac, has a nice little place for your 2.4 gigahertz dongle. It has their touch little thing. So on, I have an Asus keyboard in front of me, which also has that. It's like a little touch sensitive thing. So you can change what it does. Like say you can switch it to volume and you can switch it to whatever you want. And then you just slide your finger and it adjusts that. So it has that on it. 16 month battery life.
That's kind of crazy.
That's with backlighting turned off.
In 2.4. Gig.
Yeah.
What stinks about this is, and I think I saw some commentary on this when it came out, when the news first launched, like they need a 10 key version. They need a larger version for professionals, in my opinion.
Yeah. Maybe this is just a little start.
Yep. Could be. I like it a lot.
I'm a huge fan of the ProArt aesthetic. More ProArt products. And again, there are people building full-on ProArt PCs designed for professional work. So to match that up with a keyboard is definitely makes sense. We have the Chinese price, which is $145. So it's on that same level as like a really nice pro Logitech style keyboard.
Do we know if those legends on the keycaps are shine through or if they're just...
I believe they're shine through.
Because I was going to say, like, they missed out on putting gold for those legends. It may not have shown up real well, but that's like their color combo, right? I think that could have looked really cool.
Or like the ProArt be gold.
Yeah.
But like I said, I like the ProArt aesthetic, so definitely a fan of this. We'll see if there's more. See if they come out with more of them. You know,
ProArt mouse.
I think the ProArt mouse should like be like the Logitech. What's the MX Master?
Yeah, maybe
because that's like productivity. Like has the side scroll wheel. Like that would be kind of interesting to see. Like a ProArt mouse that's designed
ProArt headphones pretty soon.
Yeah, there's a lot of like I said, I'm a fan of the line, so we'll maybe we'll get one of those keyboards in to take a look at.
And Costa said that keyboard shouldn't have a Copilot key.
Does it? I didn't even see it.
It does. They're saying it shouldn't have one.
Yeah,
it does.
Oh yeah, it does. I accidentally this Asus keyboard that I have in front of me has one, and I accidentally hit it the other day, and I like never use Copilot. I'm like, what is this? Like what just happened? Like get this thing out of here. So I did that by accident the other day. Talking about keyboards. So Razer had their Boomslang special 20-year anniversary edition or whatever, right? That came out recently. Was a mouse that cost $1,337. They only came out with, I think, $1,337. And I think someone on Razer's like, we can do this with like other products.
More products.
We can make limited edition runs. Now that one's kind of special because it was the original mouse design.
Right.
And that's like, this one is just a nicer version of a current product, but it's limited edition, 1,337 units, $500 keyboard. So I've reviewed a $500 keyboard from Asus. It was very nice. You have to be a select person to want to buy a $500 keyboard like this. Like, you could build one that's kind of custom. You can get into that price range, or you can have some nicer keyboards that are in that. But you have to be like a certain type of person to buy a Razer $500 keyboard, I would say. But this is the Huntsman Signature Edition. Like I said, 1,337 units. It has a CNC milled 6063 aluminum chassis with hand polished PVD finish. It does look nice. Like, it looks very like high end. 500 though.
Yeah, that's a lot.
You know, it uses optical switches, obviously 8,000 Hertz hyper pooling, 5-year warranty. It's just like, it comes in this nice case. Would you drop?
I do like that it's a 75% or right? But I'm not dropping $500 on a Razer keyboard.
Yeah, I wanted something like, again, that mouse made sense because it was like the 20th. You know, they were celebrating 20 years of that mouse, sure. And it was kind of iconic. This is just a Huntsman with like better materials, I guess. But maybe somebody, like, again, when I was like, saw the story, I was like, so, you know, they did that mouse and somebody at Razer is like, well, we could just like make a special edition of every product we have and like just make it with better materials, which again brings up the cost of it. Maybe not to obviously not to $500, like their build cost, but like makes it a premium product. And, you know, since we're Razer, it's going to be 1,337 units. That's it. But like I said, if that's your thing, it is a nice looking keyboard. I don't think I'd pay $500 for it. And, in my opinion,
well, thank you.
Old man in the chat says, Windows 11 has Copilot and Notepad. It's turned on by default. And then Ryan says, I will use that Copilot to ask how to remove it in Notepad. Yeah.
Its own game.
Yeah. Interesting stuff. So Steam Next Fest is going on, talking about a lot of new games. One of the OG DX12 games, which Ashes of the Singularity. We used that for a very long time to test graphics cards because it was...
Dude, that benchmark was wild. There was so much going on in it.
Yeah, it has had a really great DX12 built-in benchmark. It was like one of the first DX12 built-in benchmarks. Ashes of the Singularity 2, free demo currently. We have linked to it on Steam if you want to check it out. If you're not familiar with Ashes of the Singularity, it's an open, sort of like a big open world RTS-style game. We have the Steam link right here. You can download it, give it a try, and you could run. It does have their built-in GPU test. So if you want to test your GPU, nice. You can do that there as well. Yeah, pretty cool. And we have the trailer.
It's so funny. The company that makes this game, Stardock.
Yeah.
Like, they make all these other applications too. It's like they make, I've used Object Desktop where you can like customize your icons and like some stuff and fences to like organize and then games. Like, it was just so interesting to me, like what they make. That's just kind of funny. But I didn't ever play any Ashes, but yeah, I sure ran that benchmark back in the day working for another site, like testing stuff out. And there was just like so many units on the screen and just a lot going on.
Yeah, especially if you ran it at like super high res, like a 4K back then, and you're like crushing your system. Like I said, it's the demo's available until March 2nd. So I don't know how much you can play in the demo, but there is a GPU benchmark, I believe, in the demo. So if you want to check it out, you can definitely go ahead and do that. Like I said, we have the link for that. And then coming up next week, taking a look at some memory from Patriot, their Viper Elite 5. I'm taking a look at the non-RGB version, and this The one that I have is 32 gigs CL32, which is pretty low latency on there. So I'll be taking a look at that next week. Might have some other stuff. It just depends on what all I get done, because I've been working like crazy trying to get stuff out for you guys. So that is what we have coming up next week. Now, our question of the week, and I was thinking about this today, is that, like, are we at a point where, like, just things are stagnant, right? We don't have any official word on any new GPU launches. So we're not looking forward, or we're not like thinking, okay, GPU launch, I'm going to build a new system, right?
Yep.
Everything else is kind of being delayed as far as like consoles. Yeah, Intel pushing back. We just had the story about Intel possibly pushing back their next, and like no real word on like AMD's kind of next gen. Like, again, we just kind of got a refresh at CES of a couple chips. And again, nobody's really excited about buildings. Like, this would be a great time if we didn't have the RAM shortage to build, because a lot of these components would be cheaper because they've been out for a while, right?
Like, right, and we would have seen potential like super launches or refreshes of some things, right? Yeah. We get those second rounds of motherboards that we often see. We get the GPU refreshes where they tweak things. Yeah, it's just not available.
And like, if you think about it, we would be gearing up for CPU launches around Computex, right?
Yeah,
absolutely. Real quick before we finish that, Ryan asks, is Patriot a good brand to buy? I'm new. Yeah, Patriot's a pretty solid brand. We've tested a lot of their memory. If you go to our website here, and you go to reviews, PC hardware memory, you can see we've reviewed a handful of different Patriot kits. Here's one here. Here's one here. Like, you can check out our reviews. But yeah, I like Patriot memory. We reviewed a handful of their memory kits over the years and never really had any crazy issues with them. So yeah. But yeah, like, when it comes to like being, I just feel like the industry right now is just stagnant. Like, there's nothing official from a brand that's like, hey, we're coming out with this, you know, in the next couple months.
I mean, the only thing to look forward to right now, maybe, that we kind of know is on the horizon is GTA 6, right? We can like maybe look forward to that as long as it doesn't get bumped back. But as far as like hardware products go, yeah, everything's either too expensive or it's been pushed back.
Yeah. Steam, and again, yeah.
Steam Machine, like, maybe, yeah. But who knows what that status is anymore.
Yeah. Yeah, like I said, it's just a weird time. I feel like we're in that lull. Usually after CES is kind of like a lull, like if you get into February, March, but then you get really excited for Computex because a lot of things are launching. And usually that's when like CPU would launch, or, you know, we'll get like kind of more leaks up to like when the next GPU is coming, but we're not really getting any of that, it seems. Yeah. So it's pretty, like I said, pretty interesting next couple months, I think. But as we come closer to the end here, is there anything else tech you wanted to talk about, or any tech things you did or saw? Or
I don't think so. I have another AIO getting ready to go into the test machine, so right. Spitting them out.
Yeah, hell yeah.
I was, again, I was really impressed with this ASRock cooler. Just very nice product.
Nice. Ryan in the chat says, I heard Steam Machine will be underpowered for modern or future games, so I bought the used game. Yeah, I mean, that Steam Machine, I don't think it's for like a hardcore gamers, really. I think it's for kind of just to compete with the console crowd and have something there. And based on the specs that we saw, like, it's not anything insane by any means. Right. And then Old Man said, I was looking at a 4 terabyte King spec M.2 drive last year. It was just under $200. Now it's, yeah, double price. Now it's $390, double price. Yeah, that's the tough thing, right? Right now. That's what, like, it's so hard to get excited about things because it's the pricing. We have the, oh, you should build in this awesome new case, you know, if you're doing a new build, but it's like, well,
I'll not put my old rig in there, I guess.
Cause... Yeah, like not doing a new build, you know. So yeah, it's an interesting time. But that is going to wrap it up for us. Of course, we are going to be doing some gaming. Ryan runs that stream. That's over on Twitch. That's going to be twitch.tv/thinkcomputers. And playing some Apex, I guess. Playing some Apex Legends, which will be, you know, be fun. Get my gaming on. I gotta finish testing this keyboard. So we'll be.
You gotta remember how to play games. You haven't played in a while.
I know. I gotta wake up and play some games. So we'll be doing that. But thanks for everybody who came out for the live stream. Old Man and Ryan in the live chat, and of course everybody that listens later. And we'll see everybody next week.